Throughout all of our readings today, we see the images of God and people. In the Old Testament reading, they are on a journey through the wilderness, being led by Moses to the land he promised to Father Abraham. In the New Testament reading, Paul is seen making a defense of how God's glory is with us as we journey through our sufferings, producing perseverance, character, and hope. Then in our gospel reading, we see our Lord Jesus Christ as the greatest evangelist who ever lived in the history of time, showing compassion to the woman at the well, which led to him winning a whole town over unto himself. All these acts on the part of God has only one objective behind them, and that is to redeem souls. For God, this has been quite a journey. From the time he created mankind to the fall and throughout the time when he called Abraham to this present moment has been quite a journey for God. God has been in the face of mankind for quite a while now, and he is not quitting. He is not quitting. God is so committed to this that amidst our falling condition that has left us dysfunctional and divisive, God still comes to seek us out. This is mysterious. A mysteriousness that makes the Apostle Paul to shout out, "What manner of love is this?" What manner of love is this? What is it that's driving God's passion towards us? Today from our gospel text, here it is that the well in Samaria again, he is there bringing hope to the hopeless. Today I want us to see Jesus as the greatest evangelist that ever lived in the history of time as we immerse ourselves in the story of Jesus at the well. The first thing we want to look at is his compassion in this story. In John 4, verses 3 through 6, it says, "So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph." Just from looking at how much Jesus traveled, we can see how his godly compassion drove his godly passion for the people he came to save. So this compassion in Jesus drove his passion. Jesus was a man that was full of compassion. What is godly compassion, one may ask? Godly compassion is that compassion that drives one to have pity on someone or have concern for the sufferings or the less fortunate. And so when Jesus looked down, his compassion went deeper than this. His compassion went deeper. We were all lost according to the Bible. We were lost and Jesus came to seek us, like the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6. And Jesus came to claim us. The Bible says we were all lost and we were all gone astray in this text. And Jesus came to claim us. We were all going astray. All we, like lost sheep, had gone astray, everyone to his own way. But then God came to seek us. And Jesus himself made this claim in Luke 19:10, that the Son of Man comes to seek and save those that are lost. So Jesus told us the story of the man left for dead on the wayside, which we call the Samaritan story. And in that story, we see that there was someone who was filled with compassion for the situation that had happened at that given moment. And so he stopped and he took this man to an inn. And so that tells us that compassion drives passion in people. And so as we look at Jesus' story and look at his compassion level that drove him to do the things he did for us, my advice to all of us today is that we pray to God to give us a heart full of compassion. Because without compassion, all we will be involved with is program, program, program. And the program is not going to yield any results whatsoever because our passion level is not there to go out and win souls. The objective behind everything we do ought to lead towards us leading or bringing people into faith. That should be the objective of every Christian. And that objective should be mustered by passion. And the only way we can cultivate that passion is when we pray to God to give us the compassion we need to have that concern for those who are lost. For the less fortunate, I will call them, because they are not yet engrafted into the body of Christ. And so once we get into the attitude of praying to God to give us this godly compassion, this godly compassion is going to drive our passion to seek out those who are lost. And in everything we do, we will have a little bit of that passion in it to bring souls to Christ. We have our volleyball ministry here at our church, and we meet on every Friday evening for volleyball. At the end of the play, we come together for the time of prayer. And during that time of prayer, we try to encourage people who have not found faith in God to find faith. And so what that means is, even though we come to fellowship around volleyball, but we don't just walk out after it is done. The objective of all that stuff is like a bait that we are using to bring people into the kingdom. And it's because there is a compassion that is driving this passion. A compassion that souls are being lost out there that need to come to Christ in faith. Now we just look at Christ's compassion as the greatest evangelist. Let's look at his condition. In John 4:6, Jacob's well, the Bible says, was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. So this demonstrates his humanity. All right. As God, Jesus was never tired. But as man, yes, indeed, he was. As a man, he was tired. This suggests to us that he feels and understands what we are going through on this life's journey. Jesus feels every touch of our infirmity. The Bible says, tired as he was from the journey, tells us that Jesus been there too. He's been through the struggles and the trials time and the trying times and the problems and the downfalls and the stresses and all these things. Jesus have gone through it. For the scripture lets us know in Hebrews 4:15a, it tells us, "But we do not have a high priest," this is Jesus, "who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." He is able to empathize with our weaknesses because he's gone through it too. He's been there through. He understands what it is when one says, "I'm tired." And so, folks, this journey called life does get tiresome and weary, doesn't it? It does. We do get tired and weary on the journey. And sometimes we just want to throw in the towel and sit down and quit because it gets tiresome sometimes. Like Moses in our Old Testament text this morning is leading the children of Israel. And they are complaining, "Oh, we don't have water. And why is it that God is giving us manna every day? We want something else." And they kept complaining on the wayside. And I believe that Moses was tired when these things were going on. But he had to do what God had called him to do. And he needed the strength that only comes from God. That strength was driven by the compassion in his heart for his people that drove his passion to lead him to the place that God had called him to go. So, folks, as we go on this life journey, it does get tired. But when it gets tired, we need to trust in God because he's been through it too. All right, he been through it too. So the Bible says Jesus sat down by the well, suggests that it is okay to rest, but it is not okay to quit. Resting is okay, but quitting is not okay. Jesus got tired. That was not the first time or the only time he got tired. But remember when he was going up Golgotha's hill to be crucified and he was carrying his cross and he came to a point where he could not carry the cross anymore and he stopped on the wayside to rest. And then Joseph had to take the cross up the hill. But Jesus did not quit there. He did not stop there. He did not give up. He went up that hill and got up on that cross and died for the sin of the world. And then he said, "It is finished," meaning that he finished the task that he was called to carry out. We are on this journey, friends, and trials and tribulations will come, and difficulties will come sometimes, and distresses would come. But as these things come alongside us, we need to keep on keeping on. We may rest, yes, but we will not quit. We will continue the journey unto the end. Also, the well here is a picture of the word of God. Jesus stopped by the well. The well gives us a picture of the word of God. We rest to draw strength. He stopped to get water. He asked the lady for water. Some theologians asked, was Jesus really thirsty because he didn't get a drink? But I said, yes, he was. It was true that he needed a drink because the Bible makes it clear that he was thirsty. It makes it clear that it was noonday. It means the sun was hot and he was tired. And in his humanity, he was thirsty and needed to drink. Well, folks, when we get tired spiritually, we get thirsty as well. And that's the time to go and draw strength from the well. The word of God is that well where we go to draw strength and then to cool and quench that spiritual thirst that is inside of us. And as we sit here this morning, some might be discouraged. Some might be wearied from this journey. But as we sit here this morning, we have come to draw strength from the living word of God, to keep on keeping on and not quitting. This is the word of God. So the next thing we want to look at this morning, and lastly, is the conversation, his conversation. In John 4, verses 9 through 26, it tells us that during the time of Jesus' conversation with this woman, they talk about several things. The first thing they talked about was the water, starting in John 4, verse 7, where Jesus tells her, I'm thirsty, can I have a drink? And the woman says to him, look, you want to drink? Where are you going to get the water from? The well is deep, all right? And you don't have anything to draw from. But the conversation begins with water. I am thirsty. Give me water to drink. And Jesus Christ used that object because it was her concern. He started the conversation based on the thing that was concerning her. Many times we want to evangelize to people, we want to bring people to faith in God, but we try to start the conversation on what concerns us. And people are not really concerned about what's concerning us, they're concerned about what's concerning them, all right? And so when you start a conversation with someone, it's always good to start it around what concerns them. The scripture lets us know that this woman came at the well to draw water, so Jesus started the conversation with water. And they start to talk about this. And he says to her, if you know who was asking you for this water, you will ask him to give you eternal water, water that will spring up into eternity, and you'll never thirst again. And the lady went on and said, well, give me this water so that I won't keep coming down here to draw water again. She still did not get it. Like many folks don't get it today. When we talk to them about eternal life, they don't understand. And they try to bring up all these different philosophical ideas that they have in their minds about God. Like one lady I just spoke with this week, and then she started getting upset with me for talking about Jesus. And this is the kind of world that we find ourselves in. We are deep and full with compassion for those who are lost and asking God, how can we share our faith? We try to share it, but people will just push us off because they don't want to listen. How can we reach this to them? It's the concern. But let's look for a place where we can find that commonality. The next thing is to talk about war. In John 4, verse 9, war means that she says, I am a Samaritan and you are a Jew. How will you come here and asking me to give you water when Jews do not associate with Samaritan? Jesus broke down that wall or barrier. He broke it down right here, and then he began this conversation with this lady. And if you read further in this story, when the disciples came back from town, they met Jesus and this woman in this deep conversation, and they were all confused by that. But well, as they talked, it led to a whole town getting converted to Jesus Christ. They talk about worth, W-O-R-T-H. They talked about that. Where Jesus tells this woman that, yes, you, she came down to draw water during noonday, because that was not the time when the people came down to draw water. But apparently she was trying to stay away from the rest of the ladies because they disdain her. All right? And they called her names. And so she came down to the well by noon by herself to draw water so that she wouldn't see them or associate with them. And so Jesus had to address that when he told her, go and call your husband. And she said, I don't have one. And he says, you're right. The one you have right now is not yours. All right. And they went on deep into this conversation to bring her back to her wholeness. Jesus had to address the concern that she had in her life. They also talked about worship in John 4 verses 20 through 24. And she talked about how the worship at this mountain and how the Jews worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus gets into this whole idea about how a time is coming when worship will never be in Jerusalem nor at this mountain anymore. He says, but those who worship the Father will only worship him in spirit and in truth. And it is the reason why we sit here today. We are not in Samaria. We are not at Jacob's well. We are not at Jacob's mountain. We are not in Jerusalem. We are here in Baltimore, worshiping the same God in spirit and in truth. The last thing they talked about was wisdom. And Jesus talked about it. He says that I will give you water that you will never thirst again. But the lady did not understand this. She did not understand this. But as we go through all of these things that Jesus have gone through, we see him as the greatest evangelist that have ever lived in our ancient time. This is what Jesus hoped to do for every sinner who have lost the way this morning. He wants to bring them to faith, but using us, we are his hands and feet. And this is why it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives inside of me. He is still alive today, doing the same work, but he's doing it through the church and through his people. He's reaching one person at a time. This is what we call our vision statement. In our vision statement, we say that we are called by Christ, unified by the Holy Spirit, to grow disciples, to spread the gospel. He has called us to accomplish these things. So to be Jesus to our community, taking common interest in their common interest, is what God has called us to do. And so we pray that as we go through this message today, it will sink deep in our hearts and keep us steadfast in our faith, knowing that God will not bring us so far and leave us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.